Hey there, welcome to today's episode of Verity Vitamins. My name is Benjamin Pace, and we have been in a series entitled Pour No More, and we have been talking about God's will to bring his people up and out of poverty. And so I believe today is part 12, I think, of this series. And as far as I know, I think we're coming to the close of this. I actually have a lot more on my heart that I'd like to talk about in this subject, and I was going to talk about, you know, it's one of those things that as soon as you start digging into it, it just kind of expands on you. And but I feel like there are some other things I want to get to, and so we're probably going to be wrapping up this series. But something that I wanted to kind of tie this up with is what we're going to talk about in this episode. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, this has been our text for this series. It says this in verse 1, "All the commandments which I command you this day you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God swore unto your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to prove you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live." Now, we've got into all these separate things in these episodes leading up to this. But over in verse 7, he says, "For the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein you will eat bread without scarceness. You will not lack anything in it." He said, "It's a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig brass." That means there's something buried in this land that's worth something. There's some buried treasure here. He said, "When you have eaten and are full, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." And he warns them against forgetting God after they have built beautiful houses, and after they have dug wells and set up everything on their property. Once they have their ranches and their fences and their cows and their horses and, you know, their barns, all these things. Once they have all this built, don't forget where it came from. But down in verse 18, he says, "But you will remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day." So he gives us this caution. He gives his people this caution, but it's to us too, not to forget the Lord our God after we have seen the result of the blessing of the Lord in our lives. After we have, well, he said he gives us the power to get wealth. Well, after we've gotten wealth, what should we do? Remember the Lord our God. Know who gave it to us. Know where it came from. But an important thing we need to touch on and realize is that there are ways to get wealth without God. And you can get wealth the wrong way. You know, Jeremiah 17 talks about the difference between trusting in the Lord and trusting in the arm of man, or trusting in the arm of flesh. And at one point in Jeremiah 17, in those first few verses, it talks about getting riches, but not by right. Getting riches, but not by what is right. And this is something that's very important. With God, the end never justifies the means. And it's very important how we get things. It's not a matter of whether or not God wants us to prosper, whether or not God wants us to come out of poverty, but how did we do it? You know, people can do stuff to make money. You know, I mean, if you want to go to an extreme, you can go get a gun and hold up a convenience store and get some money. I don't mean you're prospering. There are ways to get money. That's an extreme, though. There are ways that are much less extreme to get money that are not honoring the Lord and that are not the right way. We've mentioned Deuteronomy 8:18. I want to read Proverbs 8:18 to you. Proverbs 8:18 says, "Riches and honor are with me, yes, durable riches and righteousness." I want to talk to you for a few minutes about riches and honor. He said they're enduring riches and righteousness. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness, uprightness in every area, and relation and right standing with God." And as a reference, it gives the verses Proverbs 3:16 and Matthew 6:33. Proverbs 3:16, I believe, is talking about not withholding that which is good to those to whom it is due. And Matthew 6:33 is, of course, talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. Actually, I said that wrong. Proverbs 3:16 is not that, because I actually wrote down what Proverbs 3:16 is. So I'll read that to you here in a second. But in the Message translation of this passage, it says, "Wealth and glory accompany me." We've been talking about glory in the full-length podcasts. But, you know, he said he would supply our need according to his riches in glory. It said, "Wealth and glory accompany me, also substantial honor, and watch this, a good name. My benefits are worth more than a big salary, even a very big salary. The returns on me exceed an imaginable bonus. You can find me on Righteousness Road, that's where I walk, at the intersection of Justice Avenue, handing out life to those who love me, filling their arms with life, armloads of life." Now, I want to point this out to you. He said, "My benefits are worth more than even a big salary and a really big bonus." I find that interesting because that's job terminology. That's what you get at a job. Well, we're all supposed to work, and God wants us to work, and God will lead you to the right job, and he will lead you to put your hand to the right thing or the right business or whatever it is you're graced and called to do. But something we have to realize is that, number one, there are some things that we should not put our hand to, because even though they may produce money, we can't do it with honor. You know, the Bible talks about working for your employer as unto the Lord. But, you know, there are some things you can't do as unto the Lord. Let me just get plain with you. I can't work at a weed dispensary as unto the Lord. Now, you may not like that, but I'm going to say it anyway. I can't work at a strip club as unto the Lord. You understand? Well, they need Jesus. They need me to be a light there. I'm not going to be a light to anybody by working at a place like that. You understand? Because what's the first thing they're going to want to know? What are you doing working at a place like this? There are some things we should not put our hands to. And compromise is something we can't do as unto the Lord. And, you know, a job can become an idol. Now, we're all supposed to work. We're all supposed to work. But a job can become an idol if you're willing to compromise to keep it. And, you know, you see this with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had a really good job. You know, they're working for the king. But there came a point where their job required them to compromise, and they refused to do it. What's interesting is that their refusal to compromise actually ended up leading to their promotion. And the reason why I'm saying this to you is because it's not just about making money. It's about how you made the money. It's about how you got the wealth. I mentioned Proverbs 3:16 and I misquoted it to you, but now I'm going to accurately quote it to you. It said, "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor." You know, there are a lot of people who seek money at the expense of length of days. What do I mean by that? Premature aging, toiling, laboring, or doing something that God did not call or anoint them to do. But it says that, talking about wisdom, riches and honor are in her left hand. With God, again, it's never about what you have, it's about how you got it. God is not offended by any amount of money or by any nice possession or anything like that. The thing that he is offended by is covetousness. And with covetousness, if you want something too much, you'll go too far to get it, or you'll compromise to get it. So when I talk about riches without honor, let me say it to you this way: riches without honesty, riches without integrity, riches without a clean conscience, and riches without right priorities. One of the verses that it referenced was Matthew 6:33. Well, let's read that. Let's start in verse 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What is that talking about? Right priorities. Now, I mentioned how something can become an idol if you're willing to compromise to keep it, but something else that can be an evidence of something being an idol is if your priorities are wrong. If your priorities are all out of whack. Having right priorities is what keeps you safe from idolatry. In Psalm 62:10, look at this, it says, "Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery." What is that? That's wrong ways of increasing. He said, "If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." So what we see in this verse is God will enable your hand to obtain what your heart is not set upon. That doesn't mean you're not believing for more. That doesn't mean you don't desire to come up, but your heart's not set upon something. You can have it come in, you can have it go out. You understand? And that doesn't mean you can't have some money in savings and have some money in your storehouses. That's wisdom, but your heart is not set upon it. See, this is the difference between believing for more, believing to come up higher, and yielding to covetousness. God is not opposed to us being rich. He's opposed to us being covetous. So how do I guarantee that I'm not yielding to covetousness and wrong motives when it comes to obtaining wealth? Well, number one, I remember who gave me the wealth to begin with. But then on the other hand, we have to realize that there are ways to get wealth that he had nothing to do with. And it's not wrong to get wealth, but if we get it the wrong way, well, let me say it to you this way. Brother Kenneth Copeland is famous for saying, "If faith in God can't get it, I don't want it in my house." Now, that doesn't mean it can't come through a natural channel. But can I do that as unto the Lord? Am I doing something? Am I putting my hand to something that I can do as unto the Lord? Do I have a clear conscience? Am I operating in honesty and integrity? Are my priorities right? And the place that something holds in our heart has everything to do with God being able to add more to us the right way. And we keep ourselves safe from serving mammon and becoming covetous, by refusing to compromise honor, integrity, and honesty in order to obtain money. We never let money take priority over conscience. And if it comes down to money or conscience, then we don't have to pray about it. We'll even make great sacrifices financially to preserve our conscience and our witness. And being a witness isn't about being a people pleaser, it's about representing God properly. Does that make sense? Look at this in Genesis 14, verse 18. It says, "Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed Abraham and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hands.'" And it says, "Abraham gave him tithes of all." What's he doing? He's remembering the Lord his God. Now, this is a side note. I can't get into this right now, but notice that Abraham gave his tithes to Melchizedek. He didn't give his tithes to the king of Sodom. Why do I say that? Because it matters where your tithe goes. Now, I'm not talking about being religious and saying it can only go to one establishment, but study the scriptures about tithing and where the scriptures say they should go. And you'll find that it's important about where your tithe goes and to who your tithe goes. I won't get into all that right now. But the king of Sodom came and said, "Give me the persons and take the goods to yourself." Well, watch this. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I've lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is yours." Watch this. "Lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich." Man, are there times we shouldn't receive certain things? Are there times we shouldn't sign certain contracts? Are there times we shouldn't let certain people get involved with us? Are there times we shouldn't accept certain offerings? Why? Strings attached. We don't want another person saying they made us rich. We don't want to say in our heart, "They made me rich." What is that? I don't want to make another person my source. We don't rely on our own hand to get us wealth, but just as importantly, we don't rely on someone else's hand to make us rich, especially if it means compromise. I'm mindful of somebody I respect in the faith. Sarah Pearson tells a story about how she was into modeling for a long time, but there came a point in her modeling career that she had an opportunity to either go forward and compromise in some things or walk away. And it had a lot of money involved, but she knew in her heart she had to walk away from it. And now the Lord's given her and her husband, Jeremy, a ministry and a church and has blessed it and prospered it. But the enemy dangled that in front of her and there was money attached to it, but she refused to compromise to keep it. There is another person I heard who was a rapper in the hip hop industry, and he went to prison and he got saved and got delivered. But afterwards he was producing songs as a living. But there was a certain artist that wanted him to produce their songs, but these songs were full of all kinds of foul, unclean, vile stuff. And as a believer, it grieved his spirit. But his mind was tended to say, "Well, you know, it's just business. You know, I mean, it's their thing. I mean, you know, I can't help what they're doing, and I'm not the one, you know, doing it. I'm just, you know, producing the song, you know, and I can't help the fact that they're doing all this stuff." And besides that, there was a lot of money involved. But he said his conscience kept bothering him about it. His heart kept smiting him about it. And finally, he had to call this person and say, "I'm sorry, I can't produce these songs." And he forfeited the money. Now, we talked about this recently in the podcast, The Honor Roll. But is it ever an inconvenience to follow your conscience? Yes. Does it ever require sacrifice to follow your conscience? But it's so important. If we want to prosper God's way, we have to refuse to prosper the wrong way. And the word "prosper" is in quotations. God doesn't want our compromise money for his kingdom. You understand? He doesn't need that. He wants to bless us in doing what he has called and graced us to do. Let me read you this last verse. In Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses, your vats, your storehouses will overflow with new wine." Should honoring God become our first priority? What if we have an opportunity to make money by a questionable means? What if we have to misrepresent the truth a little bit? What if we have to violate our conscience in order to get our foot in the door? Listen, I don't just want riches. When it comes to coming out of poverty, when it comes to coming into godly abundance and resources and prosperity, I want riches. That sounds great. Only if they come with honor.